Before we get to the NHL playoffs, I want to start with the upcoming draft. And of course, there's two netminders that are projected to go in the top 20. Of course, Wentz said might go in the top 10 even. Then you got Kosta, the young goaltender who played for the Edmonton Oil Kings and, you know, was dynamic and he's got great numbers his first two seasons. But, you know, goaltender's a tough one. Are these guys, would you put them in the same category as Spencer Knight?
Yeah, you know what? I think Wallstedt is in that category. He's sort of hovering around that Spencer Knight, Yaroslav Askarov. I hate to say can't miss because there's no such thing, but you know, where you're confident you've got a future number one there, like you're willing to take that risk and, you know, high up in a draft to secure that. I'm not sure if Kosta is the same. And I got to be honest with you, I haven't had a chance to really dig into a ton of his video to sort of break down all the mechanics and what I see there. Little early for me for that, but I have had a lot of conversations with guys around the league about where these two sort of pan out. And I think there is a slight tiering there between Wallstedt and Kosta. And, you know, there's some questions, you know, we've talked about size and I think Kosta manages his big frame so well, you know, but increasingly we are hearing those questions like, hey, I heard Ian Clark, the Canucks goaltending coach on a show recently. And this is a discussion I've had with him and others around the league. Like, if there's a perfect window, it's 6'3", 6'4", and on either side of that, you've got to work to overcome your size. And Sebastian's really big, and the bigger you are, the bigger the holes you open. I think he manages that really well, you know. But there are some questions there. I think the biggest question that I'm hearing from the sort of goalie scouting community is just how much of his success was team oriented, and sometimes that's not fair. You play behind a good team. You don't see as many chances. That's not your fault. And obviously he dealt with the chances he did see extremely well. But I think there are a lot of people that are kind of grain of salting the raw numbers just because of how good that Oil Kings team was defensively and how limited his exposure was. You know, I know at Hockey Canada, they saw some exposure and that may have been a controversial decision not to invite him to the World Junior Camp. And given how good that team was and how little they gave up, maybe he would have been a perfect fit in retrospect. But I do know they saw some exposure elements in his game that they weren't certain about. Now, that doesn't mean if you're an NHL team looking at him and forecasting, you can't look at it and say, yes, there's a little exposure here, say, in the way he moves here or the holes he opens there, but we can fix that. But I hear more of those questions, fairly or not, around Kosta than I do around Wallstedt, who, in my conversations with guys around the league, is in that conversation with Spencer Knight and Yaroslav Askarov in terms of that upper tier, surefire first round pick. And I'll be curious to see how it pans out after that, because for all the talk about goalies and development, and you know, you can find goaltending anywhere, the reality is the ones that have won a cup, you know, I think it's back to 2013, have been exclusively homegrown. And you're seeing the value in finding a guy and drafting and developing a guy like Vasilevsky in Tampa Bay. Obviously, Carey Price, a little bit of a longer window with the Montreal Canadiens. But even with the Islanders, I know, obviously, Varlamov's not homegrown, but Sorokin, who's been just as good, not just during the regular season, but in the playoffs and is their future, you know, there's a guy that they drafted. So, if you think a guy's going to be at that level, first round pick all the way. I don't have any problem with wasting it. I just think there's not as much certainty about Kosta being in that conversation as I'm hearing about Wallstedt.
Now, I'll say my one argument about, it was the team in front of him. When he was a 16-year-old as a rookie last year, he had a .921 save percentage in 33 games. In the other 34 games, three different goaltenders combined for a .904 save percentage behind the exact same team. And then this year, in his 19 starts, he had a .941 save percentage. In the four starts of Colby Knight, he had an .885 save percentage. So the team was good, sure, but when he wasn't in, the goaltending numbers were significantly lower.
Yeah, and I guess the counter argument, without knowing who those names were or much about them, is do they have any future beyond junior hockey? Like, quite often you're talking about the drop-off from starter to backup in junior hockey, and we're talking about windows at an NHL draft where, like, to be in that conversation as that kid, like, look how long it's been until we got to Spencer Knight. Look how the gap, what was it, back to Jack Campbell to be that high a first-round pick and then a scare-off last year. Like, this is, that's a, it's a pretty big leap to be in that conversation, and it's not anything against Kosa, whether he is or isn't, or if he's a slight tier below. He's still probably going to be a first-round pick based on the conversations I'm having. It's just there's a little more uncertainty around him than there is Jesper Wallstedt, and you're absolutely right. Like, this is such a unique year. I'm getting more questions from more guys around the league than ever before, because they just haven't been able to dig in on these guys like they were in the past.
Yeah.
Talking all things goaltending with our main man, Kevin Woodley from the In Goal magazine. Woodley, you know, let's just look at this matchup tonight with Fleury and Price, two obviously good goaltenders. I feel like what I've seen is Fleury's been guilty of the odd Johnny Knuckler going in more than Price, although he's played pretty well. Is that something you've seen, and do you think that maybe gives the Montreal hope put pucks on net?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of low percentage goals, I mean, actually, Carey's been pretty good right up until that last game. I mean, both the goals in Game 4 against Winnipeg were low percentage goals. Like, you talked about Knucklers, I would, you know, Logan Stanley on a one-timer from the top of the circle shouldn't go in on anyone. But that was sort of the first blip for him. I don't know if pucks on net is ever a great philosophy. Like, I get it. You know, we saw what Vasilevsky gave up the other night on a clean shot, you know, from the point. At the end of the day, you always want to try and generate quality. And I think as a goalie coach going into this series on either team, you're looking at the guy at the other end and you're asking, what types of chances are we going to score? Are we most likely to score on? And in Fleury's case, as good as he's been, there's only one that sort of stands out as this is an area where he can be exposed, and that's sort of lateral plays. And it's not surprising because he holds his edges so patiently around the top of his crease. He doesn't retreat. He doesn't play with a lot of flow. So if you are able to move the puck east-west on him, as powerful and explosive as he is laterally, it's usually a longer push for him than it is most goaltenders, and he doesn't build any momentum going into it. Those are strengths of his game. I speak about them like they're a weakness. They're not. But relative to everything, they make that type of save harder. So, I mean, you could just run traffic and throw pucks to the net and hope it hits a leg and bounces, but I would like to think, especially on power plays or when you get into odd man rush situations, that you would be looking to create the types of chances that are actually going to lead to goals. Now, at the other end of the ice, Carey Price, interestingly enough, like screens and traffic and one-timers have been his biggest weakness, not just in the regular season. I mean, it was really bad in the regular season, but we've talked about that before. The truth is Carey was really bad in the regular season. In the playoffs, he's been great, other than those last two goals against Winnipeg. But the one area where he still struggles a little bit is managing traffic and managing sight lines. And we've talked about it before. I do believe it's because you watch Fleury, he'll play behind it and he'll be narrow stance, feet together, looking up and over screens, whereas Carey's more likely to get into a low wide stance earlier and try and look around screens, or, you know, see fine pucks around guys' hips as opposed to over their shoulders. And it's been one area of his game that other teams have targeted. So it'll be interesting to see if the Golden Knights go after that in particular.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, the Ryan Pulock goal against Vasilevsky, point shot from the blue line, not screened, not deflected, and it beats him. To me, I thought it was like, wow, that's kind of a rare one, and good on the Islanders, because that's a goal that usually shouldn't go in on Vasilevsky. But you're saying he's susceptible to that?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's a hammer, right? Like, he can absolutely hit that thing like few guys in the league. But you're right, it's a low percentage goal. And I'm not saying he's susceptible to it, but I will say that given his reputation, I think people would be surprised how many of them do go on him that are those low percentage clear sight goals. As a matter of fact, He had 18 low percentage goals in the regular season. 9 of them were that clear sight variety, and 9 may not seem like a lot, Jason, but in a shortened season, it was the second most in the National Hockey League. Now listen, Vasilevskiy sees more shots than anyone. He's a clear-cut workhorse, number one goaltender. The only guy who sees as many chances and shots is Connor Hellebuck. But even when you break it down to percentages in terms of his success on those types of shots based on save percentage, he's below expected. Ranks 40th out of 48 goalies who saw over 200 of those types of chances. Again, not where you'd expect him to be when we talk about, you know, perennial Vezina contender. And so when everybody is shocked that a puck like that goes in, the reality is it happens more than I think you would expect for a goalie like Andre Vasilevskiy. And, you know, listen, maybe some of it is, you know, mental. Just, you know, a lot of people have suggested, like, does he just sort of fall asleep a little bit back there? And it's possible. I see in his game, though, he's so good at protecting the perimeter of the net and keeping his hands active around the outside. You do see a lot of up and down in his movement a little bit. He can get a little sort of vertical. There's a lot of vertical movement, which can make it hard to sort of maintain good visual connection and track a puck through a release. I think that can hurt him. And you see part of having those active hands to protect the upper corners of the net, the elbows get a little flared. And again, that's just that slight delay going down, especially on a guy that maybe caught him off guard by how hard he hit it in Pollock. You know, a little later to get that seal against the hips with those elbows when they're starting from a sort of activated, flared position. And again, it's not a criticism because all those elements of his stance and setup allow him to make a lot of saves around the perimeter. When I've done my tracking over the years, it's been surprising to me how many pucks do go through him in that manner, and I would guess that the Islanders are seeing the same thing. So as much as you're not going to look at that, Jason, and say, oh, he gives up long goals, let's just take long shots, because the reality of giving up more of them, like, it's still something he stops 95% of the time. The difference is your expectation is he should stop at 97 or 98. So you can hammer away back there all day and you might get one or two bad ones, but it's not going to be enough to make a difference if that's all you're taking. At the same time, when you do get that look, instead of trying to go top cheese right on the corner where you know those gloves are so active, I would not be surprised at all if the Islanders and knowing what Mitch Korn, their director of goaltending, does on a pre-scout, he's one of the guys that taught me how an NHL goalie coach does a pre-scout for my work. I can almost guarantee you that they've outlined, when you get this look, a shot right off the hips or just off the body is maybe even more effective than trying to go right in that crossbar post seam.
All right. Good stuff, Woodley. We look forward to seeing how this series progresses. Fleury versus Price, quite the goaltending matchup tonight, starting in game one. We look forward to it. We'll talk to you next Monday. Have a good one.
I'm looking forward to it, too. The good thing for me is I can't lose because both of these guys are, in addition to being great goaltenders, great people. So I don't have to cheer. I just have to – it's all good. I'm happy.